Well, good morning. Good to see you today. God is good, isn't he? And I always enjoy coming and ministering the word and sharing with you. I'm sorry my wife is not with me today. She's ill, so you can pray for her. Not the COVID virus or anything like that. So she sends her greetings to you as well. And God is so good. We're enjoying our family and 11 grandkids, and we enjoy them. So until my wife was not feeling well, why, each Thursday we'd have the grandkids come in and we'd have a meal together and we'd all sit around and laugh. And of course, they everything they do is on their cell phone, you know, and they'd be laughing and showing things. Just good music to hear. I saw this young man sitting down there. I had to sit by him because we had 5 sons, no girls. And my wife said she got embarrassed every time she walked through the ladies' lingerie department. But he's good. Do you love the Lord? Thank you for letting me come, and I'm going to try to just encourage you and help you to keep stay faithful to the Lord. That's the important thing. Stay faithful. So that's what my message is going to be about. So let me just pray and ask God's help and ask him to bless our time. Our Father in heaven, what a great God you are. Thank you for saving sinners such as we are. And Lord, you've made us your own children, your own sons and daughters. Lord, you've adopted us into your family, and we're born through your Spirit. All the good things that you've given to us in Christ. Now, Lord, you know the weakness of this vessel today, and I just pray for that ability to demonstrate and to explain and to express the truths of your word. And Lord, just help us to be faithful. So we give thanks to you and ask you to minister to this church family. And Lord, we pray for their pastor and his family and for their needs as well. So we love you today and just ask you to help us to love this people through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to share with you a very profound verse. I'm going to start with it. And it's so profound that it's beyond explanation. But here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that a great verse? And you can spend a lot of time trying to explain and express that one, but it is good. And so I'm going to just share with you some of the things that God's brought to my heart, and I hope it'll be of some help and encouragement for you. Well, it's for sure that we live in difficult times, don't we? And it's so important for God's people to be faithful to him. And remember the Great Commission, go into all the world. Make disciples of every nation, you know. And so we've been commissioned to do that. And that great command, go into all the world. Well, this is the world we live in right here. And he's told us to go into the world and make disciples and represent him. And we're to be that light in a world of darkness. We're to be the bread of life to hungering souls. And we're to represent him. So he says, go into all the world. So someone said, you know, you can't walk on water until you get out of the boat. And sometimes it's hard for us to get out of the boat when it looks like the waves are tossing and raging and looks threatening. And aren't you glad that there's nothing that can threaten us but what is greater than God? And we're in his hand, and he said, trust me and walk with me, and you know that I'm going to take care of you. Now, I don't know what your future is, don't know what mine is. All I know is that I have today. And I just want to love the Lord, minister to you, and pray that God might help me to lift you up and keep your eyes upon the Lord. So that great verse, go into all the world. But in the Bible starts with the words, in the beginning, God. So that's where that verse starts, you know. God so loved the world. God. So that's where we start. That's where we're going to start today, that ceremony. Because we live in a time when men do not want to acknowledge God. They try to explain him away and try to give reasons why he's not there. Let me just share with you a few verses. And so I go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. And it says this, but the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage, advocate abstaining in foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. And so it says, in the last days. Now, I'm convinced, I don't know about you, but I know that we're living in the last days. And I have a friend who's a great prophetic scholar. And there's another book that's written by a Jewish man that's brought up, a Jew, was converted to Christ, and he's such a tremendous Bible scholar. But the book is written by this Jew, but it's called The Last Hour. And he writes about the prophetic picture. He takes you through the whole prophecy of the nations and where they're going to come about and so forth. But he says it's pretty hard to find America in prophetic scripture. And so we don't know what's going to happen. I pray that God will keep us witnessing for him and being strong for him. And God will help us to be true to him. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you'll see another exhortation in the times in which we live. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but realize this, that in the last days, perilous times or difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, and malicious, gossips without self-control, brutal haters of good. And it goes on, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of godliness, although they have denied the power. Avoid such men as these. And so it's no question in my mind that we're living in the last days. And so let me just emphasize to you the importance of keeping your faith strong in Christ. God is true. I mean, his word is accurate, and we know what's coming. And so we know the rapture is the next thing for the church. But remember how that John 3:16 began? In the beginning, God. And whenever you have questions or problems or difficulties, start right there. Start with God, because he is greater than any problem you face, any difficult that you have. Let me just read something for you. Some men say that there's no God. All the wonders around you are accidental. No almighty hand made 1,000,000,000,000 stars. They made themselves. The top few inches of our land just happened to be topsoil, without which we would have no vegetables to eat, no grass for the animals whose meat is our food. The inexhaustible envelope of air, only 100 miles deep and of exactly the right density to support human life. It's just another law of physics. Water expands when it freezes, while other substances contract. This makes ice lighter than water and keeps it floating on the surface. Otherwise, lakes would be solid ice down to the bottom all year, and no fish could survive. Well, who made this arrangement? Why does the earth spin at a given speed without ever slowing up so that we have day and night? Who tilts it so that we get seasons? The sun strokes the fire just warm enough to sustain us on earth, but not hot enough to fry us or cold enough to kill us. Who keeps the fire constant? The human heart will beat for 70 or 80 years without faltering. Well, how does it get sufficient rest between beats? A kidney will filter poison from the blood and leave the good things alone. So how does it know one from the other? Who gave the human tongue flexibility to form words and a brain to understand them, but denied it to all animals? It's the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And so it says, you fools have said in your heart, there is no God. It is the fool who said that. Friend, all around us, we see God's handwork. Look at your lives. Do you see God's handwork in your life? Do you see what he's been doing for you and with you? Things that you do not even know. Times when God spared our lives, and things that God provided for us. I felt God's call into the ministry and took off for Bible college with my wife and three little boys at that time. Just the way God provided and supplied all the way through. And I can say honestly, in all my life, I've never yet seen that God didn't provide. Not always what I wanted, but he always gives me what I need. Every supply that is required of me, God comes through some way, somehow, sometime. Had no idea how to pay tuition for Bible college, but someone, I don't know who they were, I think I do, but don't know, somehow would send a check every semester so that my tuition was paid for the first 2 years. God just has supplied for us. Those five sons, we grew up. I have a blog that I put out about three times a week. And this last one, this one of them last week I did was on He is Able. Anyway, it was just about how God is able. Whatever needs you have in your life, if you have faith in God, you trust him to do what's right, not always what you want or what you expect. But God sees down the road, and he will bring into your life that which is needed. And when you trust him, he provides and supplies, he's always given to us. But he has provided. But my son wrote about that article, He is Able. So here he's 62 or something like that now, and he said, Dad, I really enjoyed this article. He said, I remember when we were in Bible college. And he said, you would get an opportunity to preach out of town. And we'd be coming back late at night because I'd have to go to school the next morning and work. They'd have to go to school. Sometimes it'd be late. We'd sometimes get a call from a church way up north, and we had to take every opportunity we could to preach. But he said, on the way back, it'd be late, be dark in the car, and you'd be singing He is Able. And he said, when I saw that song, said, just brought back good memories to my life. Look back over your life and just think, God is able, isn't he? Not always what we want. Sometimes some of the things I wanted, I felt I just had to have. And God said no, and just so thankful that God's in control. And so you see the world around you and all the anger and all the things that's going on, and you see these intellectuals explaining away God. There's no God, and the world just happened to be and just exploded, and there was all. I mean, just look through the heavens, the millions and billions of stars and galaxies and planets. There's only one place they found life. That's this place that God put us on. And so God, in the beginning, God. And so we opened that up. See, the heavens, Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So if you ever get to questioning God, just step out some night and look up into the heavens and realize that God not only knows those stars, he's got them named, he's got them positioned, and he has a purpose for every one of them. And who knows how he will use us in eternity. But we do know that he is a mighty miracle-working God. So the question is this. Where does it begin? It begins with life. The one thing man cannot imitate is life. God is the maker of life. Now, there's all kinds of difficulties and arguments about that. And so, anyway, I can look just at a simple tree, and I see the work of God in that tree. So sometimes I ask a Christian, I'll ask an individual, are you a Christian? And they'll say, oh yes, I'm a member of this church, or yes, I'm from this denomination, or I was brought up in a family, that went to church or something. And so the real test, the real question is never what church you go to, although that is important. Being born again has nothing to do with being a Christian. The answer is, do you have life? See, I love to study trees. And when my son was a little boy, just small tot, I said to him, I said, let's go across the road. So I got our spade and we went across the road, and we found a yellow poplar tree, just a little sapling. And I said, okay, let's dig that up. So me and him, we worked on it and got it up and took it back to the house there, the parsonage there in South Haven, where I pastored 15 years. And so we planted that tree. And so we had him water it. And so I said, now, what I want you to do is jump over it. He says, what? I said, yeah, just jump over it. He jumped over it. And out come my other next youngest son. He jumped over it. And anyway, he says, well, why is that? I said, well, one of these days, you're going to come back and you're going to see that tree towering up there, and you can tell your son, I jumped over that tree. And see, that's why you learn to trust God with the little trees. And even in your marriage, when you have problems, get over them soon. Because if you don't, there'll come a time when you can't get over it anymore. The wounds and the hurts. Learn life. God give us life and lessons to know. So, he's the giver of life. Life is a miracle. Sometimes I ask that person, are you a Christian? When they say, no, I go to this church. But what I want to say is, do you have life? So they say, well, yeah, I'm a member of this church. No, that's not the issue. The issue is, do you have life? Okay, let me take a telephone pole, plant it in this, dig a hole and stick it in there, and it towers up there. And so, say, what's that telephone pole made out of? Wood. What's a tree made out of? Wood. Where do you find a tree? In the ground. Isn't a telephone pole in the ground? Yeah, it is, but it doesn't have life. See, that's where God's work has life in it. And when you have God's life in it, you know, there's that which follows. A tree, you know, a real tree will take root and it'll develop these roots. And what's the roots for? The roots are to draw the sustenance and the nutrients and the things that it needs for life. And when you belong to God and He's your life, you see that He provides that which you need. But you also drive by and you say, oh, look, there's a yellow poplar tree. Well, how do you know? Well, I can tell by the leaves. Oh, there's a white pine. Well, how do you know? Well, the leaves, the needles. You can identify a tree just by looking at the leaves. People ought to go by our lives and they say, there's a Christian. There's a Christian. How do you know? Well, look at their testimony. Look at what you see. What you see tells you they're a Christian. Then there's the fruit. How do you tell a apple tree from a pear tree? Maybe not from the leaves sometimes, but you can tell it by the fruit. How do you tell a Christian? Well, do they have roots? Do they have life? If they have life, they'll take root. The roots will bring nutrients and the storms will come, but they'll survive. They have the life, the roots that holds them. You see the leaves that come out and people go by and say, look at that Christian. You can tell he professes to be a Christian and you can tell by the leaves. Look at, you know what kind of a tree that is. Then there's the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Against such there's no law. How's the fruit in your life? Have you got fruit that people enjoy, that you can help others and you provide nourishment and sustenance, and you're able to reach out to others and represent God? And just say, yeah, I'm not just a telephone pole. See, a telephone pole has no roots. Telephone pole has no leaves. Telephone pole may be wood, made out of wood, and it may have come from a tree, but it is not a tree. So you and I, we may profess to be Christians, but do we have life? Do we have the roots? Do we have the leaves, the profession that people see? Do we have the fruit that we demonstrate? God's love. Oh, this world is such a mess. Oh, it's such a mess. Only God can straighten it out. And He will. But God needs some trees. He needs people like me and you that'll have roots and leaves and fruit. And minister to hurting people. Represent Christ. What did Christ do? He loved sinners. He loved the lepers. He loved His enemies. Prayed for them. Do you have someone that's maybe hard for you to love or like? A neighbor that irritates you? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So what are you going to give them to eat? You're going to give them the same bitter fruit that they give you, the same hard life, the same difficulties? Or are you going to represent Christ? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, all those fruits. Well, are you a tree or are you a pole? You may be, are you a member of the church, but do you have life? Do you have roots? Are you growing in Christ? Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. God. So when I start that verse, I start with the word God. God. And when you understand God, everything else is just insignificant. If you know Him and have Him in your life, what problems could there be? Death? No, death is, you know, it's been conquered. Problems, heartaches, disappointments, illness. We go through those things in this earth, don't we? But oh, God, the life. God so loved. Love. Do you know how much this world needs love? Oh, the bitter, angering, the political contamination all around us. If they could just understand the love, that true love that comes with knowing Christ. And so here's 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this is the love of God manifested toward us, how God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is life, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And you know, just marriage. Marriage is an imitation of God's love. Oh, do you remember, let me talk to these old geezers here. Do you remember falling in love with your wife? You remember how you won her and sought her and showed off, trying to make yourself look like something great, you know, that she ought to have. And you seen her and that's what I need in my life. God led you together and that love affair. Then you get married and you stand before that man of God and you take that vow, for better, for worse, till death do us part. You make that vow. And then you know what you do? You exchange rings. You take that ring that you work for and you put it on her finger until you want her to just be proud of it. Not because of the size of the gem or anything like that or the value, but what that ring represents. That ring represents your love. And she takes that ring and puts on your finger. And you wear that thing, you know, and you show it off and let people know you're married. God made marriage and love because he is a God of love. And he loves us. And do you ever understand why we do the exchange of rings? Let me read this to you. The exchange of gold rings symbolizes fidelity and a binding of hearts to one another. Gold is one of the most precious metals known to men. Combined with other precious metals, it is hard and unbreakable. The ring is a perfect circle and thus represents a never-ending eternal commitment. We wear it on the third finger of our left hand. It was believed that the vein in the third finger ran directly to the heart. So the wearing of the ring on that finger joined the couple's hearts. Because of the hand-heart connection, that vein was named the Vena Amoris, Latin for the vein of love. And it is also true that, as every piano player will inform you, the ring finger is the weakest finger in the hand. We wed our loved one, accepting them with all their weakest points, but they also wed us, acknowledging and accepting us in our weakest points. Now, that day when you said to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for my sin. Come into my heart. You know what? He put a ring on your finger that you can't see. But he wants you to be proud of that. He wants you to demonstrate that very thing, that the strength of that gold, that metal is unbreakable. And that there's no end to it, always going. But you accept the very weakness. It's not long when you're married that you find out that your wife wasn't just exactly perfect. And women find out that they didn't marry a perfect man. It doesn't take them long, does it, man? But you understand that when God accepted you, He accepted you with all your weakness. He accepted you, you know, just how you are. And like that ring, there's no end. It cannot be broken. And He accepts us just in all of our weakness. Oh, aren't you glad you're a Christian? Don't you know the Lord? If you're here and you've never been saved, I just pray that you'd receive Him. And let Him change your life. He changed my life so completely. And God is good. Let me pray for you. The heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask you, are you a tree or are you a pole? You say you're a Christian because you came from a Christian family, or you're a Christian because you're a member of a church. But do you have the life? Do you have the roots and the leaves and the fruit? Then listen to God's pleading invitation to you. He will accept you, and you'll become the bride of Christ. You know if you're a sinner. You know you are. We all are. But you know that He wants to forgive you and come into your life. Let Him change you. You can right now, just while we're here, just pray and say, God, please forgive all my sins and help me to love You and help me to love this world in which we live. Oh God, the world is hurting so much for love. So much anger and bitterness and hatred. You've told us to go into the world and demonstrate Your love. Lord, if there's one here without Christ, help them call out to You, to cry, to turn in repentance and receive You, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If I can help you, you want to talk. If you need to make sure you're saved, I'd be glad to share some scriptures with you.
Thank you, Pastor Byers. Let's stand and sing in closing.
Working in